Today's shiur is b'sef from the Dharam Daf Pei Dalad. We will begin on Daf Pei Dalad and Aleph, the first words, Eisei Rav L'Rav Nachman. As we learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah discussed a woman who said, Koinim Shani Nana L'Brius, that I won't have any benefit from anyone, from any people. And the Gemara mentioned the Machlaikis Amaroim, who is included when one uses the word Brius. Is her husband included when she said Brios or not? Ula and Rav Nachman said that the husband's not included. Rava said that the husband is included. One more word of introduction. As we have been learning, there is a difference between a neder of inui nefesh, when a woman makes a neder of inui nefesh, that a husband could revoke, that the halacha is that that revocation is a permanent revocation, and it's a revocation of the entire neder. Whereas a neder of beinoy lebeinah, a neder that affects their relationship, there the halach is that the neder is only revoked for as long as they're married, and moreover, only what affects their relationship is revoked, nothing more. Eisei Rav L'Rav Nachman. Ubala b'chlal brios, can you say when she used the word brios, the husband is not included? V'tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, we learned about this Mishnah, we're going to learn the Mishnah Mitzvashem. If a woman makes the statement, Netula ani min Yehudim, I may not have relations with any Yehudim. And like the Rishonim say, Yehudim and Brios are really the same. She say, I'm not allowed to have relations with anyone. The halach is, Yofer Chelkoi, the husband should be made for what affects him, because they should continue having, they should be able to continue having relationships. And they can continue having relationships. But she can't have relations with anyone else. Ask the Gemara. If we're saying, as we just said, that when one uses the word brios, the husband's not included. So here too, ask the Gemara. It can't mean the husband. It doesn't mean the husband. So not a question, and the Ran and the Rishonim have two ways of explaining the Gemara's question. One way of explaining the Gemara's question is quite simple. If when a woman uses the word Brios, or if when a woman uses the word Yehudim, was saying that the husband is not included, so then why does the husband have to be made for the nether? It doesn't affect him. He's not included. That's a simple way of learning the Gemara. A little more complicated way of learning the Gemara is as follows. Obviously, if the husband is not included when Brios or Yehudim are used, we have to redefine the nether. Because we can't say that she meant to say that I'm not going to have relations with any other man, because she's not going to have relations with anyone. Anyway, she's a married woman. It must be that what did she mean? She meant that she's not going to have benefit, not just not relations, but financial benefit. But if it's financial benefit that she meant, so now the Gemara asks a gevaldige kasha, then it turns into being a nether of inui nefesh, not just a nether of beinoy lebeinoy. And as we said in our introductory remarks, when you have a nether of beinoy lebeinoy, the husband could revoke the entire nether, not just chelkoi. So by saying that the husband is not included in Yehudim, that Mishnah doesn't make sense. As we explained, for one of two reasons. Either if it doesn't include him, so what does he have to be made for? Or if it means that she's not going to have benefit from anybody, financial benefit, so now halacha is it becomes a nether v'inu nefesh, and he should be able to revoke it entirely. V'amrit ba'al la b'chlal brios. It was saying when the word like brios, or word like Yehudim are used, it doesn't include the husband, so nidrei in a nefeshu. So what, how must we define that nether? We must define that nether that she meant that she's not going to have financial benefit. Because from the husband, but from the other people, she can't have relations anyway. She's an eshes ish. And therefore, his afarah should not just be a afarah of chelkoi, but rather, the yofaloi lo'olam, it should be a permanent revocation, as all revocations of inu nefesh are. Answers the Gemara. La'olam shani hasa, shani hocha, the mucha melsa that terakos v'nafsha. The Gemara answers in the following way. We can still continue holding that a neder, that when she uses the word Yehudim or she uses the word Briois, everyone is included. Not everyone is included. The husband's not included. But sometimes it's so obvious that the husband is included that even though she used those kind of words, the husband will be included. Meaning the following. As we're explaining, the neder she made was that she's not going to have relations. If she's not going to have, if she meant that she's not going to have relations with everybody besides the husband, what do I need a neder for? She's anyway also to have relations with everybody. She's a married woman. The context and the wording of the neder in that case clearly proved to us that she means everyone including the husband. Whereas in our Mishnah, it doesn't necessarily point in that direction. The Rishonim make a number of observations in learning this Gemara. One question they say is, why is the neder effective in the first place? A woman, we learned just the other day, can't make a neder that she's not going to, that her husband may not have relations with her. She has an obligation to have relations with her husband. So one teretz is that if she doesn't word the neder that the husband is usur, she words it that she is usur, then it's an effective neder. Another teretz that the Rishonim say is very bechiddush. If a woman goes and says that my husband, I'm making a neder, he can't have benefit for me, it's a meaningless neder. She has a prior obligation. But here she's not limiting the neder just to her husband. She's including the whole world. Netula anim and Yehudim, all Jews. So the husband's not being singled out. And therefore, even though if she were speaking to the husband specifically, the neder would not be a valid neder, because she's speaking to everyone, the neder is a valid neder. The other question, which is just saying it for the sake of review, we just discussed in the previous year and the year before that, the halacha is that if a person makes a neder, that it has two parts to it, one part that has inu nefesh, and another part that doesn't have inu nefesh, so Yehuda Mishmul says that the husband can be made for an entire neder. So why here does the Mishnah say yofah chalkai, only his portion, not anyone else? So the answer is, going back to what we said at the beginning, that's one of the differences between inu nefesh and beinoy lebeinoy. In inu nefesh, the husband's authority is much greater, and that's why according to Yehuda Mishmul, he could be made for even the part that doesn't talk to inu nefesh. But here, as the Gemara explains, we're referring to a neder of beinoy lebeinoy. And a neder of beinoy lebeinoy, the husband's rights are much more limited, and he only can be made for what affects him, and doesn't give him the authority to be made for anything else. So we learned that if a woman made a neder that she's not allowed to have hanah from anybody, she can collect lechet shechopeya. Before we begin the Gemara, we need to say a word of introduction. Many times in Shas, it's actually the subject of a Masechta, we've encountered the concept of Demai. What does Demai mean? In the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they found that people had become more lax in giving the Matnas Kohuna. And therefore, Yochanan Kohen Gadol instituted that when someone buys tvuah, somebody buys produce from an Amoritz, he has to take off, because of doubt, the Mai, Trumas HaMaisus again. But it's important to explain what that does and doesn't include, how it includes it. Firstly, Truma is not included. And the reason Truma is not included is because Truma, even Amoratzim recognized, was a very serious Aveira, if somebody doesn't take off Truma. If somebody eats Truma or Tevel, there's a very serious Chiv Misa. And that's why Amoratzim took off Truma. So there's never concern that the Amoratz didn't take off Truma. Where the concern begins is by Maisa Rishon, which is given to a Levi. There is a concern that the Amoratz didn't take off Maisa Rishon. There's a concern by Trumas Maiser, and this is important to explain. Trumas Maiser, the halach of Trumas Maiser is that when somebody gives a Levi the 10%, the Maisa Rishon, the Levi takes off from that 10%, called Trumas Maiser, and has the din of like Truma. Amoratzim, even though we just explained, we're careful about Truma, we're not careful about Trumas Maiser. And the Mefarshim explain why, if Trumas Maiser has the same din as Truma, why are they careful about Truma and not careful about Trumas Maiser? So I saw three explanations. One explanation is the Torah itself is very explicit speaking about the halachas of Truma. The Torah is not that explicit about Trumas Mice. It's only learned with a Hekesh. That Maratzim don't appreciate that something which is learned with a Hekesh has the same thing, has the same status as if it was explicit in the Torah. And that's why Truma they're careful with, Trumas Mice they're not careful with. Another explanation why they're not as careful with Trumas Mice as they are with Truma. Because the way they look at it is as follows. Trumas Mice is not my problem. It's the Levi's problem. I give a Levi Mice, the owner of the tefillah gives the Levi Mice Rishon, and it's the Levi's issue. In their mind, Trumas Mice has nothing to do with the Yisrael. And therefore, they felt that even if the Trumas Mice wasn't taken off, it doesn't affect the tefillah, because it's not their headache, it's the headache of the Levi. A third explanation, very interesting explanation. Midaraisa, the halacha is, chita achas b'teres sakri. You take one kernel as Truma, and you've accomplish what you have to do. It's Rabbanan that we've discussed, said that you should take a 40th or a 50th or a 60th. But midaraisa, chitach b'teresis akri. So there's no problem for our ma'oritz to be careful about truma. Take off one kernel, big deal. Truma smicer has a shear, has the exact measurement. It has to be 10% of the maiserishin. Now we could be talking about a significant amount. That's why they're not as careful with Trumas Maisa, because that already starts costing them more than Truma, which really doesn't represent any real expense. So when somebody buys Tvua, somebody buys produce from Amoritz, Truma he doesn't have to take off, but Maisa Rishon he has to be concerned that Amoritz didn't give. He has to be concerned that the Amoritz didn't give Trumas Maisa. But here we go further. Very interesting halacha. There's a 6-year cycle in how trumas and maisers are given. 6 year and then the 7th year is Shemitah. The 1st year and the 2nd year, truma is given. Maaser Rishon is given, that's every year. And Maaser Sheni is given. Maaser Sheni, we know that the next 10% is taken and has to be, those fruits, those produce have to be in Yerushalayim or be redeemed and the money spent in Yerushalayim. In the 3rd year of the cycle, there's no Maaser Sheni, but there is Maaser Oni. I have to give it to poor people. The 4th and the 5th year, again, is Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. The 6th year is, again, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Oni. So now let's speak about year 1 or year 2. Somebody comes to buy produce from an Amoritz. It's just interesting to note. I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Sefer Derech Amunah, discusses how do we look at the Mai nowadays. He says, on one hand, the Amoratzim that the Gemara speaks about don't exist nowadays. When the Gemara speaks about Amoritz in those times, it's like Korah v'Leishon, he doesn't know how to daven even. It's a total Amoritz. We don't really have people that are so ignorant. He says, on the other hand, we don't have people who are observant and that ignorant. On the other hand, we don't have people who are necessarily Chaverim either. Chaverim means that a person accepted about himself a certain status and a certain requirements as far as being careful with Trumas and Maestras, and we don't necessarily have that either. So what happens if you buy produce nowadays in Eretz Yisrael? Why is there no problem with the Mai? So he says, that's the job of the Kashrus. The job of the Kashrus agency is to make sure that Trumas and Maestras are properly taken, and that gives the status to the produce that they're not considered the Mai. So now it's the 1st or 2nd year. And somebody comes to Amoritz to buy produce. So Maaser Rishon, he has to be concerned, wasn't removed. But the halach is very interesting. The halach is that the Amoritz has to designate the Maaser Rishon. But he doesn't have to give it to a Levi. Because when the Levi comes now to the Amoritz and says, okay, I want this demai that you took off, or he comes to the Talmud Chacham who takes it, or to the Chavar who takes it off, he says, Hamotzim Chaveri Olav Araya. Prove that the Amoritz never gave it to you. You can't prove it. So therefore it's designated, but it's not actually given to the Levi. And there is no problem with the Yisrael eating it, because Maaser Rishon is allowed to be eaten by Yisraelim. Truma and Trumas Maaser may not be eaten by Yisraelim. Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni may be eaten by Yisraelim. What about the Trumas Maaser? Again, let's understand the question. I bought, not I, because I'm not necessarily chaver. a chaver bought produce from Am Oretz, he has to separate the Maiserishin, just separate it but not give it, because Am Oretz Mechaveril of Araya. And he could eat it, because Maiserishin and Yisrael could eat. Trumas Maiser, he can't eat, because he's Yisrael. So most Rishonim say that part, the proportion that would be Trumas Maiser of what I bought from an Am Oretz, which really represents 1%, because Maiser is 10%, and Trumas Maiser is 10% of that 10%, so that's 1% of the entire package, I have to give to the Kohen. I can't hold on to it. Other Rishonim suggest that I could sell it to the Kohen, albeit it's not going to get a high price for it, because there's very few people that could eat it. Only Kohanim could eat it. So we have a law of supply and demand. There's a great supply and there's a low demand. Only Kohanim could eat it. So some Rishonim say that you could sell it. The Rishonim who say you can't sell it suggest why not. Why don't we just say again, Hamotz Mechavel of Araya, prove that I have to give it away for free. So they say two explanations. One is because since, as we just said, Trumas Meiser, a Yisrael, is not allowed to eat. So since Yisrael is not allowed to eat the Trumas Meiser, we're concerned every Yisrael is going to want to hold on to it and sell it. But it's hard to sell. And while he's holding on to it, he may accidentally eat it. And it's something that's prohibited for him to eat, so we say just give it away. Another explanation, also along what we've been explaining, is since there are so few customers for this produce, you're not going to get a great price for it anyway, so you might as well give it away. That's the year one and two. Our Gemara now focuses on year three. Year three is a year of Maiser Ani. Is there a concern of Demai by Maiser Ani? Is there a concern that Maiser Ani wasn't removed and therefore becomes Demai or not? And that's how we begin this year. Our Mishnah, when it says that if a woman made a neder that she can't benefit from anybody, could still collect leket shechapeya. And as we explained in the previous year, why? Because leket shechapeya doesn't mean that she's taking it from any one individual. She's taking it from stock, it's not from an individual. And that's why she's allowed to take it. What about Maaser Ani? Says the Gemara, v'loik tani b'maaser ani. Our Mishnah doesn't include Maaser Ani as something that this woman who made the neder, that she any animal brios may continue receiving. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, but we have the exact same case as mentioned our Mishnah in the Braisa, and in the Braisa it says, Uba Maaser Ani, that she is allowed to take Maaser Ani. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah in the Braisa? Amar Rav Yosef Loi Kasha. The way to reconcile this discrepancy is by attributing different man to Amram. Horeb Elezer, Horeb Onan. The Machloikas in the Mishnah in the Braisa represents the Machloikas of Reb Elezer and Reb Onan. That's not, because there's a Mishnah Masech to Demai. Reb Elezer Omer Ein Odom Tzorach Likra Shem Am Maaser Ani Shel Demai. Even though we just explained the concern about Demai, we don't have to be that the Amoritz didn't take off Trumas and Maaseris, Trumas Maaser properly, he didn't take off Maaserishim properly. Reb Elezer says we don't have to be concerned that he didn't take off Maaser Ani properly. And therefore, we don't have to go through any process as far as the Maaser Ani is concerned. Rabbanan disagree. And the Rabbanan say, Tzorch Kairi Shein, Vein Tzorch Lahafrish. Just like we have to be concerned about Maaser Rishon, and just like we have to be concerned about Trumas Maaser, say to Rabbanan, you have to be concerned about Maaser Ani. And therefore, if you buy produce from Am Haaretz, let's go all the way through. According to the Chachamim, you have to designate Maaser Ani, because you have to be concerned that the person who you bought it from did not. But you don't have to give it to the Ani. When the poor person comes to collect it, again, you'll say, HaMotzim Chaveri, all of Araya, prove that the Amoritz who I bought this produce from did not actually give the Maaser Ani. But I have to go through the designation. What's the Machloikas? Mailav. So how do we explain the Machloikas of Reb Elezer and Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, Lamanda Mesveka Tavil Ksavi Islei Tavis Hano. The man the Amid that says, so the Gemara explains, this is the way the Ran explains the Gemara. The Gemara is talking to a very fundamental question. We know that the Aloch is, if you have produce that you did not remove from it the Truma, that produce is Tevil. And if somebody eats Tevil, there's a chiv misa. Even if a koyin eats tevel, there's a chiv misa b'dei shemayim. What happens if you have produce from which maaser oni was not taken? Is that produce tevel or not? The rabbanon hold that not removing maaser oni makes that produce tevel. Manda mistake a toivah, siva islay toivah hanor. The kivin islay toivah hanor, loy mahanya. Let's explain this all the way. The chacham hold that if maaser oni is not removed from produce, then maaser oni is tevel. Now, we go to one step further. The Ran teaches us that tevel and toivah hanor travel together. First, let's explain what toivah hanor means. Toivah hanor means that I have maaser oni in my possession. It's not only by maaser oni. Tomorrow she will see that it's by other trumas and maasers. But let's speak about maaser oni because that's the subject that we're discussing today. I have maaser oni in my possession. There are unfortunately a lot of poor people that want to get that maaser oni. So you have a relative that's a poor person. So you come to me and you tell me, you know what? I'll give you a few dollars, I'll give you a gift, and I'd like you to give the maaser oni to my relative, who's a poor person. So the Gemara is saying that since maaser oni is tevel and toivah hanor travel together, why do they travel together? Because the pasuk says, "V'lo yichalu es kotshei b'nei Yisrael es asher yirimu." Chalu means that it's tevel, asher yirimu means that the toivah hanor. Wherever there's toivah hanor, so you are now at a benefit from me, okay? And then you get maaser oni from me, so that means you benefited from me in a tangible financial way, because getting maaser oni has a value, the toivah hanor, and by taking it from me, you benefit from me. So the rabbanon who hold that the non-removal of maaser oni causes that the produce should be tevel, say that there's toivah hanor involved, and therefore you're not allowed to collect the maaser oni. Rabbi Lezer, on the other hand, holds, ain't a karashem, because he kasava, less like toivah hanor, there is maaser oni, or the non-removable removal of maaser oni doesn't cause tevel, and therefore there's no toivah hanor, because we said tevel and toivah hanor travel together, v'sharalei lesnui, and therefore there's no benefit that you're getting from me when you're collecting maaser oni from me. It's no different than leket shikl peya, and therefore, even if you're not allowed to benefit from me, just like you're allowed to take my leket shikl peya, you're allowed to take my maaser oni. So now the question, which the Ran discusses, and it's a very, very fundamental question, is that we're saying that the machlokes of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbonon is if the non-removal of maaser oni from produce causes it to be tevel or not. That's how we're saying. The Rabbonon say that it causes it to be tevel. As long as maaser oni wasn't removed from the produce is tevel, and therefore there's a concept of toivah hanor. Rabbi Lezer says it's not tevel, and therefore there's no concept of toivah hanor, because toivah hanor travels with tevel together. What's the question based on? So, the Ashman Daraisa, that's Rabbi Yosef Engel, and other Mefarshim have a very interesting approach, a very fundamental approach in explaining this. We know, as we said before, that we have produce from which the truma was not removed. That produce is tevel. The question is, why is it tevel? What is the isser of tevel? One way of explaining the isser of tevel is that tevel represents an isser in the Torah. The Torah, just like you know how to eat non-kosher meat, food, produce from which truma, maasros, wasn't removed is tevel. It's a new category of Macholos Asuris. That's one way of explaining Tevel. Another way of explaining Tevel is that Tevel has in a Truma. That, because what is Tevel? That the Truma wasn't removed from it. And therefore, it's not allowed to be eaten because the Truma is in it. And the Isser of Tevel is really an extension of the Isser of Truma. That's the two sides. Now, the Rabbanon hold like the first side of our Shaila. They say that if Truma wasn't removed, Maisroni wasn't removed, we have Tevel. Simple. Rav Elazar says the only time something could cause produce to be Tevel is if the food itself that I'm removing, if the food itself I'm removing, is also to be eaten by Yisrael. But as we said a few moments ago, Maisroni may be eaten by any Yisrael. So says Rav Elazar, how could a food which anyone can eat cause the produce to be Tevel? What are you saying, that there's Maisroni mixed into it? Maisroni is not a problem. Everybody's allowed to eat Maisroni. And therefore, Rav Elazar holds that not taking off Maisroni doesn't cause the produce to be Tevel. But if you follow, that's the way the Ran explains the Machloikis of Rav Elazar and Rabbanim. But if you explain Rav Elazar that way, which this really may be a Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos also, we have Rabbi Schoenfeld's question, which isn't just his question, it's the Gevuras Ari's Kasha. The Shagas Ari asked this question. If we're going to explain that the problem with Tevel is that Tevel is only Usur because it's really Truma mixed in there, so why is the halacha that if a Kohen eats Tevel, he's Mechuyav Misa? A Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. So how could Tevel be Usur to a Kohen? Shagas Ari asked the Kasha. Answers the Gevuras Ari, a very bechiddush. Since this food will be also to certain people at every point, Truma is always going to be also to Yisraelim. Therefore, the chiddush of Tevel tells us that now, where it wasn't yet separated out, it's even also to Kohanim. However, Maisroni, which will come to a point that will not be also to anyone, because Maisroni, as we said, everybody's allowed to eat, doesn't cause the food to be Tevel. That's how the Ran, with a little spice, explains the Machlokes Rav Elazar Rabbanan. Why is or is not the produce from which Tevel was not removed, which Maisroni was not removed, Tevel? And as we explained, the Pasuk connects Tevel to Tovus Hanoah, and Tovus Hanoah is the reason why the woman would be allowed, if there is Tovus Hanoah, she's not allowed to take the Maisroni, she's benefiting from me. If there is no Tovus Hanoah, she's not getting any financial benefit, and that's why she would be allowed to eat my Maisroni. We go back to the Gemara's Kasha, so now we can reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah represents the opinion of Chachamim, that Maisroni, there's Tovus Hanoah, that's why she can't eat my Maisroni. The Braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, where there's no Tovus Hanoah, and just like she could have to let it Shekhapeya, she could also take the Maisroni. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says this, he disagrees. He says the Kula Amas Feka Tavel. He says that everybody will agree that if Maisroni is not removed, we have Tevel. And if there's Tevel, there's Tovus Hanoah. So if there's Tevel and there's Tovus Hanoah, so how could the Braisa suggest that this woman who made a neder that she's not allowed to benefit from anybody still collect Maisroni? Says the Gemara, Rebelezer Rebelon Bahokimafagi. The Mishnah and the Braisa still represent the Machlokes Rebelezer Rabbanan. But the Machlokes is a different subject altogether. Rebelezer Sover, Lo Nechstu Ami Oritz Amaisroni. The Rabbanan, Rebelezer holds, you know why you don't have to be worried that the Am Oritz did not give Maisroni, because there's no reason to worry about it. Kivin de ilu mafkin nechasei v'hava oni. There's a way that everybody can legally get Maisroni. How could you legally get Maisroni? By taking the produce, by taking all your assets and being mafkin them, so you are an oni. V'shakalei. So let's say pseida. So people aren't worried if somebody is, if you have an Amoritz, what the Gemara is saying, that doesn't want to give Maisroni, he doesn't have to be non-observant and just say, I'm going to ignore this then. He has a legal way of doing it. What's the legal way of doing? Being mafker is nechasim. So now he is a poor person and he can keep the Maisroni. So why should a person not give Maisroni? If he's really that type of person that doesn't want to give it away, he has a way of keeping it legally. That's why Rav Elazar says everybody takes off Maisroni. The worst you could worry about is that he's not going to want to give it away. He has a legal way of not giving it away, being mafkiz nechasim. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan on the other hand, hold, nechsoi lemafki inish. This legal way that the Gemara is suggesting, that a person could avoid giving away his Maisroni by calling everything he owns hefker, people won't do. Why? Because if you make everything you own hefker, You have to be concerned. The mirsis dilma zocha by inish achrina. You have to be concerned that if I mafker everything I own, somebody else may take everything I own, and therefore nobody's going to use that legal loophole. And that's why a person who doesn't want to give maisroni, what's he going to do? Just not give it. And that's why it's tevel. I saw the mefarshim explain what is the machloikis according to Abai between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. It's a very fundamental machloikis. We've discussed in front of how many people do you have to be mafker. Some say you have to be mafker in front of three people. Some people say you can be mafker in front of one person. Rabbi Elazar is going to say you can be mafker in front of one person. So since you can be mafker in front of one person, so nobody's worried about being mafker. You'll take your best friend and you'll be mafker in front of him. Rabbanan hold you have to be mafker in front of three people. Now there's going to be already a lot of publicity to that story, and the person's concerned that he's going to lose everything he owns. Some of us take it a step further. We've already discussed this subject. We've discussed that something to be considered a true hefker, it has to remain in the status of hefker for 3 days. The Chachamim say it has to remain hefker for 3 days. In 3 days, there's time for every piyadi to take everything you own, and you'll be left with nothing. Rabbi Elazar isn't concerned about the three-day rule. He says you can be mafker and right away take it back. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar is not concerned that he's not going to be mafkrit. If he really doesn't want to give away to Maisroni, he's not going to separate it. He will separate it, and then right away take it back. You don't have a three-day rule. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Akasha. The Gemara says that everybody's obligated to give Maisroni. So let's say you have a very poor person that has a field, doesn't really produce much, because if it would produce a lot, he wouldn't be an ani. But it produces a minimum amount. Is he obligated to give Maisroni or not? So the Gemara Masechta Babasra says, Beferish, that he's obligated to give Maisroni. So the question is, what is he accomplishing by being Mafker as Nechasim? He still has to give Maisroni. So what's Rabbi Elazar saying that if somebody doesn't want to give Maisroni, he'll go be Mafker everything he owns, he still has to give away the Maisroni from his field? So Mefarshim answered Rabbi Kivega's question, and they say that the Gemara is very exact. He says, the halach is as follows. If somebody was mafker is nechasim, and then took it back, and took off and collected his produce and took off maisroni, he's obligated to give away that maisroni. He can't keep it himself, even though he's an ani. But what happened in the Gemara here? Follow the words of the Gemara. First he takes off the maisroni, then he's mafker is nechasim. Say to Mefarshim, a person whose mafker is nechasim, so that means when he took off the maisroni, he was a wealthy person. And he took off all his maisroni. Then he was mafkiz nechasim and became an ani. It's not the same person. When he took off the maisroni, he was a wealthy person. After he's mafkiz nechasim, he's a poor person. That halacha that you can't keep your maisroni for yourself is if nothing changes with you. But if something changes, first you were an ashir when you designated the maisroni, and now you became an ani, then you're allowed to keep the maisroni. That's why the Gemara exactly, according to Rabbi Elazar, follows this program. First, take off the maisroni, then be mafka in the chasim, and then afterwards, keep it for yourself. Rav Amar. Rav has a different way of explaining the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rav explains it this way. Time of maisroni is mischal b'toy chabayis, the ksiv by nesina. The Torah uses, as the Ram points out, there's a stira in the Torah in the words used by giving Maisa'ani. One place it says, V'nasata l'levi l'ger, you should give it. Another place it says, V'hinachta, you leave it. So, do you give it, or do you just leave it and let them collect it? Says the Gemara, the way to reconcile that question is to say as follows. Can be mais ani hamasalv b'toch habayis, and we'll explain. Sometimes the ani, the owner of the mais ani, has the right to designate which poor person he's going to give it to. That's when the paro uses the words nesina, nesata l'levi l'ger, or mishamhach l'asei l'snuye. So if I could decide which poor person is going to get the mais ani, that means I have toivus hanor, and therefore you, if you're not allowed to benefit from me, can't get mais ani from me. Can be maisroni hamischal b'toch avgronis. Sometimes my son is just left in the warehouse. Just leave it. I don't pick which ani gets it. And sharalei snuye, and I could decide that therefore anybody could benefit from it. I have no right to decide who gets it. And since I have no right to decide who gets it, the halacha is that there's no toivus anah, and therefore the person who's now a rav anah for me still could collect the maaser ani. But the Gemara sort of left out the most important part, the Ran says. The Gemara says sometimes maaser ani is distributed, it's the owner's right to decide which ani gets it, and sometimes it's the not his right, anybody could pick it up. So how do we know when is the halacha this way, when is the halacha that way? So the Ran gives two pshat. They're almost opposite each other. One pshat he says is, when the maaser ani is still in the field after we collected the tefuah, at the beginning of the season, there the halacha is that any ani could take it. On the other hand, when the maaser ani is taken into my home, to my warehouse, there the halacha is I could choose which person, which ani should get it. That's how the first pshat in the Ran. The second pshat in the Ran is just the opposite. He says at the beginning, the owner is the one to designate. After the owner finished designating, and there's anything left, there any poor person could take the maaser ani without my designation. There are a few comments that we need to make when we speak about maaser ani. First comment is that nowadays, the most complicated maaser that Jews in Eretz Yisrael have to be concerned with tefuah is maaser ani. Because maaser rishon, we don't know who a Levi is anyway. So any Levi that comes to collect maaser rishon, we could tell the Levi, prove that you're a real Levi. Maaser sheni also, we don't have Yerushalayim b'kedushah, so we don't have a base of Mikdash. But maaser ani, we still have plenty of poor people. And in fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in one place suggests that everybody should take off their own maaser ani. We shouldn't rely on hashgachas for maaser ani. Since maaser ani is the most complicated maaser, because it's the maaser that's the easiest to be fulfilled even nowadays, everybody should take off their own maaser ani in the third and the sixth year when they collect from tefuah grown in the third and sixth year. There's also interesting vart from the flaw. The Torah calls the third year, which we have said earlier is a year that maaser ani is given, as the shnas hamaaser. Says that flow, why is that year designated as shnas hamaaser? As we explained before, every year we have to give truma, every year we have to give maaser rishon, the other years we have to give maaser sheni. Why is that year considered shnas hamaaser? So he says, our Gemara is the answer to that question. This is a pasuk in Parshas Kisavai. The flow says as follows, every year maaser rishon, truma, maaser rishon, and maaser sheni are given. As we've explained earlier, those are completely in the control of the owner. He designates which levi he's going to give it to. He designates which kohen he's going to give the truma to. So he could give it away. And the owner could go, collect all his truma, collect all his maaser rishon, call a certain kohen and say, take all the truma. Call a certain levi, take all the maaser rishon. Maaser ani, we're learning now, the aniyim could take themselves. That could take a long time till the aniyim pick up the maaser ani. That's why the whole year could be a year where maaser is being given, and that's why the third year is called the shnasa maaser, because the whole year we could be busy with giving maaser. There's an interesting Rambam, because here we sort of have, the Gemara is sort of not sure of itself. Is it the owner that designates which ani should get it, or is it the any ani could pick it up? So what does the Rambam suggest somebody should do? The Rambam suggests the person should go 50-50. He says half of the maaser ani he has, he should be given the opportunity to choose which ani to give that maaser ani to, and half he should let any ani take for himself. And it's interesting, the Chassam Sofer uses this Rambam to answer a question that was sent to him. He says, there was a person who had a son who was a very big Talmud Chacham, who wanted to remain in learning after he got married. But he married a girl from a very poor family who didn't have the ability to help him out, to support him. But this Chassan's father was a wealthy man. And he had the ability to support his son and daughter-in-law. And he wanted his son to continue learning. So he said, I'll support my son. But he wasn't so wealthy and he wasn't so prepared to do it. He said, I'll use Meisr money. Am I allowed to use Meisr money to, instead of giving the tzedakah to a different cause, I'm going to give the tzedakah that my son who's sitting learning should have be supported from my Meisr money. What is the halacha? So Sam Seifer says two things. Firstly, he says he can't make that decision after he made the original decision. That means if he originally decided to support him from non-Meisr money, he can't change his mind and decide I'm going to use Meisr money. But let's say when he made that decision, he was alert enough to say I'm going to use my Meisr money to support my son. May he use Meisr money to support a son or not? So Chassam Sofer says we should follow the formula of the Rambam. He could use Meisr money to support a son, but he shouldn't use all of his Meisr money to support a son. He shouldn't use more than 50% of his Meisr money to support a son, not to deprive all other causes that also need tzedakah.